Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, final European roundup coming in. It's Monday morning now, so Euros wrapped up last night. Man, I thought we'd better chat through the final races that we've not talked through yet. Obviously, the men's steeple, more importantly though, perhaps the women's 1500 metres that saw Georgia Bell get that gold medal, and then women's marathon as well. Abby Donnelly on the podium, and then a decent run from Mohamed in the men's. Mate, where should we start? With those, I think probably got to start with Georgia Hunter-Bell, right?
Oh yeah, complete domination. And do you know what? It was the last track event of the night, of the championship, sorry. Last individual gold up for grabs. And I think they've obviously done that because they're like, this is massive. You know, this is a dead cert for gold. Go out on a bang, you know, get everyone excited. But it was just so dominating. And credit to her for just really sort of just turning up. But there was not one point in that race, I don't think anyone ever thought she was going to lose that race. Give credit to a few of the other girls. You know, Cassie Mersky was swinging wide and really trying to challenge her on the back straight. And at one point, I thought maybe she can try and get the inside line, but they just can't. And if there's one thing I'm taking away from this championships is if you have the fitness to control a race, you should. Because you make it so difficult for people to go by. And it felt like, you know, we saw we're in the 800 control it. We've seen Georgia Hunter-Bell just control it on the inside. There's been a number of other races, you know, on those last lapses where people have just controlled the inside line and fought people off. And, you know, Farah made a career out of doing that. Centro did Olympic Games. And yeah, I just thought it was a dead cert from Georgia. And I don't even know if we can break the performance down that much because there's nothing to break down.
No, it was flawless, wasn't it? But I think, do you know what? And I think Georgia mentioned this in her post-race interview as well, around how she has been the favourite before and she has lost. And actually, I do still think that as much as it would be a massive shock if she did lose this race, you've still got to come and you've still got to go and execute on the night, on the day. You've still got to win, even though everyone is billing you to win. And actually sometimes the pressure of that can be even worse. Like, I think Georgia Bell, I think she's certainly someone that over the past few years, coming back from, I guess, that time away from track and field, certainly at the elite end, right, she's done well from being an underdog and going and chasing medals or minor medals, if you like, and catching a few people by surprise. But it's a whole different ball game. And I know it's on a European level, but it's a whole different ball game to come out and actually be the clear favourite and then still go and execute anyway. And I think this will actually give her, she'll move on a lot more from this than actually some people might expect in terms of just that ruthlessness and ability to control races.
We have got to remember, though, she's got 7 seconds on the next fastest, or 6 seconds on the next fastest after. You know, I think in the past she has been the favourite, but the gap, the margins have been smaller. She hasn't been, you know, as dominating as what she is. And I just think the experience, you know, in the past as well, she hadn't had those championship experiences behind her. And I think about when she's sort of, European indoors or that title, but whereas now it's like, actually, you know, she's got medals at the Olympic Games, she's got medals at World Indoors, she's got medals at World Championships in different events as well. And I'm like, yeah, she is just really, really polished. And the big one for her is can she just keep this going to LA now? And I think that's a lot of people after these championships are going to be very excited and be like, okay, we know 2 years in our sport is a very, very long period of time. But at the moment, I do look at the women's 1500 and I'm like, Jess Holt is, you know, fair to say she's probably, we might have seen the best years from Jess Holt. Kip Yegon definitely will be stepping up. And I know you've got a few Ethiopian challengers in Hailu and others, but Georgia Bell's dispatched them on a number of occasions. You've got Dorcas Awoy, who was a world medalist last year. I know you've always got the Americans. They're always going to challenge, but actually you're like, yeah, she's going to step into the next couple of years she'll certainly step into next year, I think, depending on how World Ultimate and stuff goes, but she could certainly step into next year as the favorite for the gold at the World Championships over the 1500. And I wonder if the whole 800, 1500 debate now, we do start to see it, that basically doesn't exist anymore, and we start to see Georgia really, really fixate on that 1500, because to win an Olympic gold in any event is a huge, huge feat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she'd be, as much as we love seeing her run the 800, it would be a weird move to go focus on the 800 now, looking at the rest of the world, right? But it doesn't mean to say that she can't go and compete in some high-quality 800 meters.
She'll always be able to.
World champs next year, though? Is that one where you double? I don't know.
It's what you want out of those doubles, because I think when you look at, even look at the world champs last year, you know, Dira, Keely and Georgia, but you look at the way Warrow stepped up, you now look at adding Femke to the equation, and whether Femke improves next year will be very interesting, because obviously at the moment she's still running off the ability to run a 49, which she split yesterday, 49 relay leg. Will she start to lose that real top end once she sort of tries to add more endurance on? So it's going to be a difficult year for her to balance what she prioritizes next year. Is it strength, or is it just continuing to make sure she doesn't lose that top end, Femke? But I think Georgia would have potentially watched on and go, goodness me, you know, these girls are running 50 point for 400 now. You know, Keely, despite not having that next to her name on paper, she's certainly capable of it, and she certainly will be over the next couple of years, I imagine. So I wonder if the 800 is almost, that is starting to move away from Georgia. That being said, you know, if she ran around 155 at British Champs, which was half the atmosphere as the Europeans. Yeah. And if she'd run 155 at the Europeans, well, if it was 155 low, she would have got a silver medal. So,
yeah. And actually, like you say, could she have actually, the way she ran British Champs, could she have just controlled that European final? And that's what I'd love to see her in both, right? But it's just, they, I guess, need to decide how much emotional and physical toll that takes out of you. And it depends what way round they come in the championships. We've seen at these Europeans, the timetable mix up a bit. Historically, it's been quite consistent, hasn't it, across different championships, but the timetable this year has been a bit different. So we shall see. I mean, say we get a world champs in 2029, you make the timetable for the British athletes, surely, and allow them to do what they want to do. But
yeah, I think for a lot of Brits, that will be, they are going to be really motivated, not just LA. I mean, LA is going to be epic. It's going to be absolutely mega. I mean, the Olympics always is. But then just that dangling carrot of London is like, I think most athletes would have had the Olympic cycle in their head. And then now it's like, if we get that bid, oh boy, you know, it's like, okay, we got to go one more year. We got to try and get to London, because, you know, even just looking at the Europeans last night, the atmosphere, you look at the London Diamond League every year, the atmosphere, it will just, I mean, from 2017, it was amazing. So, but let's break down a few other results in this women's 15. Kazimierska did, you know, it was only 0.2 second behind Georgia, and it was impressive. And so, you know, although we're saying, you know, she's going to be a heavy favorite over the next couple of years, I think the Europeans are definitely getting better on his women's side. And I like to look at silver as well. Crammy said that was Ruth Silver's daughter. The guy got picked up a few medals in the early 2000s at major championships in Olympic Games. Gilmo, Sarah Healy, perhaps just feeling the fatigues of that 5K. Yes, that is a tough double for her. And I would say in that field, given Healy's credentials, that is about what you would expect. So I think she would have been hoping for a medal, but that's probably, you know, considering Gilmo's coming fourth there and what Gilmo's achieved over the 1500, it's probably a fair result for Healy. And then, yeah, other than that, there's not too much report further down that field.
No, I don't think so. And yes, Sarah Healy's a funny one, isn't she? Because obviously he had such a standout year last season. And you kind of think coming into European year this year that actually, yeah, maybe you can reach some medals.
I'm always intrigued though, because this year definitely is a transition year. And again, you know, is this, Healy's certainly prioritised the 5K quite a bit this year. Is she starting to sort of go, right, that's what I want to do come LA 2028. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really want to contest the 5K. And I think there's quite a few athletes in that position. Like, this is a year where, although it was the Europeans and all eyes were on it, you know, we saw how Josh Kerr approached this year very differently. We've seen how Jakob's approached this year. Almgren's approach this year is like, really, he looks like he is, everything that's coming out of his mouth is like, I'm a 10K specialist. You know, I've been done over on quite a few kicks by a few boys in the 5K before. And, you know, he clearly got himself in extremely good 10K shape in this event that he is responding to very well. And the level is just crazy. And I think he's now starting to look at the 10K and go, well, there's been a exodus of really high caliber Africans. You know, you look at the biggest names, you know, Kijelcha's moved up, Barega's moved up. I mean, they're all moving on. Kip Limo, Cheptegei, they've all moved on now. And so that 10K, yeah, we saw it last year with Gracia winning, but that there's a gap there for someone to grab it. And I think Almgren recognizes that. He's a smart guy. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to make this event my own over the next couple of years. And so this year, we definitely have seen people sort of potentially commit to slightly different events and try new events, because the next 2 years are, well, the next 3 years are all business. You know, it's Worlds, Olympics, Worlds. And if you're British, the Worlds could well be in London in 2029.
Yeah, super exciting, isn't it? And yeah, we're big advocates, aren't we, of people specializing in events and not just, I guess, I don't think, unless you're ridiculously good or maybe you're young and you're just not sure, it's not going to come to the point where you just get to the season of the Olympics and you just find out, oh, look, it looks like I've run a standard in one of the events. I think back in 20 years ago, maybe it's like, I'll get in shape and then I'll just run a few races and it's like, oh, I ended up with a 5K standard, so I guess I'll do that. Those days are gone. Like, the standards are too hard. The level of the competition is too high that you're just going to get spat out of back at a championships anyway, even if you do somehow make the team, that we have real specialists and people executing those distances.
Without doubt. And standards are too high. And also, if you're going to get world ranking points, you need to prioritize the event. You want to get the best world ranking points. And that, unfortunately, I think will limit and restrict. You know, you're saying it will encourage more people to just literally do one event. I mean, there's a scenario where, yeah, if you're a 15 runner, you would do some 800s. You would potentially do some 3Ks. Whereas you're almost not going to be able to do that over the next few years, because it's like, well, every time you step on the line, there's a chance to improve your ranking and cement your place. You know, unless you're a dead lock, unless you're top 5, top 10 in the world, I think it's a different story. But anyone outside the sort of top 10, top 15 is going to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen how events can move on, surprises can happen, injuries can happen, you know, if you're off your shape. So you've kind of got to take your opportunity. So it's going to be fascinating how athletes approach these next couple of years. And look, the window is it open? I think the window is open for the Worlds next year now. But, you know, we're talking outrageous times to get that. So I don't know how important that is for people to take note of. It'll all be about rankings.
Yeah, the only one, isn't it, like we've spoken about previously, is that you can run 3Ks to improve your 5K ranking. That's the only...
Yeah, which is crazy.
Crossover, which is absolutely bonkers. So yeah, that's what we might see a bit more, and like we said, I think a few of our British boys could certainly just spam some ranking points, right? Just farm some ranking points doing some 3Ks. So perhaps. Look, anyway, we'll go back to the Europeans, mate, because we haven't chatted about a steeplechase yet. And Frederik Rupert takes the win. Looks good, and I think he was always going to win, but for me,
man, this was
I thought he made hard work of this.
Yeah. He's got good quality now. I mean, Bevendorf said, oh, yeah, the favourites, basically. Well, I actually thought Arthur might, Archer of Spain might have challenged a bit more. I had him down for a sneaky gold. I just thought he's quite a messy runner. He likes these sort of championship races. He can really grind it out. And I just thought, yeah, if it's sort of slow and tactical, he might have a good kick. You know, he's always coped well in diamond leagues when they go out really hard or if they go out slow, and just seems to have quite a lot of tools and to his skill set. But he ends up fourth. And yeah, I mean, the favorite wins. Grosjean is an incredible runner who's getting better and better every year as well. But yeah, him and Bevendorf both making it on the podium. But I was surprised actually how... You know, they were 5:50 at 2K, sort of 2:55, 5:50. They were running 70s. And I was actually quite surprised that they didn't close. What was it, 2:35 last K? I know it's not quite Rupert's steeple speed, but it wasn't electric. You know, they just sort of slowly wound it up. And this is what I said. I think I said this before the races or after the steeple heats. There is a limit to how quick you can run the last lap, and it is about 59.60 because of the hurdles and the water jumps. So it doesn't matter how slow the race is. They're not going to run a 55 last lap. They're not going to run a 56. It's like they're kind of capped at that 59.60. And so it just depends what damage they can do before that. And I was surprised that 600 meters of hard running, just whole field went bang. And I don't know if that was, you know, guys are tired from the heat. Guys have done a lot of racing. I mean, the Brits have done, well, not including my brother in this, but, you know, Batsil and Imhoff have done a lot of racing. That definitely would have taken its toll. I mean, Imhoff's done a crazy amount of steeples, and I'm sure over the next couple of years, he won't have to do that. It'll be professional, you would hope. But, and a few of the others as well, they've had to race pretty hard to get to the Europeans. So, but yeah, it was a really strange race. And just like, there was an opportunity there. If you were fit and really firing, but, not many of the guys in the sort of 8:15, low 8:10 range were able to challenge.
No, because I was just surprised Rupert didn't kind of take a bit closer order of it and really he ran on the shoulder for a while.
They were both just sighting the barriers well, and I think they were feeling each other out. And we're saying there was an opportunity, but you got to remember, he's run 7:57 and probably would have won this race any which way. Mm. Bevendorf's 8:00, Grosjean's 8:00.
Oh, yeah. Well. I mean, I think Rupert does win it anyway. I expected a more dominant performance, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, he just needed to win. So, and he's done that. So obviously fair play to the guy. But yeah, I was quite surprised. I thought he might, hit the front of the K to go and really show his class. Because that last lap's almost capped. I worry that you just invite people into it, particularly in the steeple where it's almost like you can get boxed even easier. You can get clipped in and around barriers when there's more people in it towards the end. I was just very surprised he let it kind of go that long and I guess bring other people into the race, you know?
Mm. Yeah, me too in many ways. I just think he wanted to, you know, that's his first major title, and I think sometimes it's just like you've got to get the job done. And so he was probably being a little cautious. He was playing it safe, and I think he didn't want to he may be more confident next year of really like stringing this thing out, pushing hard from sort of halfway 2K into the race. But I think he was just like, look, I know I'm still up against some very, very quality runners here. Mm-hmm. And if I set myself up, I could be towing them along and they could outkick me, because he doesn't have the best kick. But he was just able to sort of grind them down enough. I watched this race and I was like, there's a massive opportunity for one, our Brits, if they can really, really just sort of knuckle down, attack the season, get the right opportunities.
That's it, isn't it, though?
It looked wide open. Europeans, the steeple's in a funny place now. You know, we're seeing El Bakkali's coming again. He probably definitely will be a major player over the next few years. But there's no African domination. Europeans have shown that they can run 8:05. I mean, Mark Rowland showed us that years ago. I just think it's going to need to take so much precision, and, you know, they're going to need to approach it in a way that we see. And I think that's the difference between the Europeans. The Europeans aren't afraid. They're not frightened to approach the steeplechase with the sort of same intent and same precision as people approach the 5K, let's say, you know, and I think there is an element of, perhaps a little lack of disrespect or like confidence in saying, this is all I'm doing. You know, this is all I'm focused on doing. And that's what these Europeans, I know Rupert's run an incredible 5K, but that is what these guys, you know, 90% of these field running 8:10, running 8:00s, they are just completely, you look at Mura, the Japanese athlete, they are just so dedicated to craft a steeple. They're not getting distracted by any other event. Every time they touch the track, it is for a steeplechase. And I think that is the approach that we need to see more of, because there is big, big opportunities. And again, Elise Thorner is actually a prime example of that. I think she's looked at it, she's grabbed that event. It's definitely helped Helen Glitterow's got experience there. She's grabbed that event and she's gone, I am going to dedicate my life to this event, and look at, she is reaping the rewards. You know, it's not let's get fit and then steeple's an afterthought. It is do everything in my power to nail this discipline. And I think we need to see more of that, because we're seeing Europeans can run 8.0.
Yeah.
And our boys, you know, whether it's these boys now or whether they're simply paving the way for a young 18-year-old out there at the moment who is going to burst onto the scene as a 21-year-old in LA and London. You know, I do think there is a long string of athletes behind just waiting to really sort of step up and kick on. But it is going to take a lot of dedication, and you're going to need to train with the old blinkers on.
Yeah, I think so. And it's such a technical event, and the, like you say, where you are capped in terms of your finishing speed, where there is so much you can do. Like, fitness will only get you so far, but if you can hurdle when you are redlining, like, it accounts for so much. And we look at some of the best athletes in the world, like Al-Bakali. Like, he can close consistently over barriers every single time.
Yeah,
you know, he's not going to falter. And it does help when you are the fittest in the field as well, because you always are running slightly within yourself. But I do think there's gains to be made in some of the technical aspect of the event. They will just shut
technical in. And also just the demands, you know, the strength that it takes. I think a lot of guys and people in the steeple need to understand that the rhythm is always changing as well. Mm. You know, even though the lap splits might look easy enough, mate, you're up and down into those barriers. You know, there'll be times where you have to accelerate into the barrier. There'll be times where you're almost dead stop into a barrier because the person in front gets in your way. You're swinging wide on the water jump. There is far more movement every 100, every 80 meters than there is in any 5K, any 10K. And you almost need to factor that in and train for it. And you look at the Kenyans when they were in their prime, you know, those guys have done 20 years of fartlek training, you know, and it's no coincidence Kemboi and Conceslus were you know, the goats and the best of all time.
They would respond to everything, weren't they?
Yeah, man? Everything.
We mentioned
incredible
Jager.
Leg strength as well.
Yeah.
And that was Jay. That was, you know, Jager was amazing. He approached it from a different angle, but that was, you know, his flaw. And Jager almost...
Yeah.
And Jager approached it from, I think, where a lot of us approach the event from, and they go, well, he was an incredible 1500 meter runner and he was an incredible 5K runner and he layered the steeple on. And it's kind of like what Beamish is doing, but only very few. You know, you look at that European field last night, no one in that field is running 330, 331.
Mm.
You know, Jager ran 332. No one in that field, bar Rupert and... probably just Bar Rupert, is running 12:58. You know, they are going to be 13:20 guys at best, but they are going to be very, very good at the steeple. And that's why they need to prioritize it and just treat it as its own event. And I think there is so much, but that mentality is ingrained in British athletics culture, because, you know, you can't get on funding unless you've run 3:32 and you show form in an event like the steeple. It's not good enough to be good at the steeple. You need to show form in the 1500. You need to show form in the 5K. That's what they're after. But they're not asking a 5K runner to run 1:45 for 800.
Yeah.
But because the steeple is a steeple, that is what a lot of people want to see. They want to see this athlete who can then do two other events.
Yeah, because they don't really know what world class.
They don't know what a steeple means, and if you've never done it, you can't really relate to it.
Yeah. There you go, mate. Rant over on a Monday morning.
We're not talking about the Europeans now. Anyway, I don't even know if I explained myself very well.
Nah, you're good, mate. We just need to prioritize the steeplechase. All the athletes who are doing it need to prioritize it. So it's all good.
Okay. Quick whistle stop tour on the marathons. Petros, heavy favorite in the men's side, won. Didn't win by much. It was a bit touch and go. It was a bit close for comfort, but did win. Course looked absolutely brutal. Oh, I'm gonna try and remember. Was it 120 odd turns in that marathon course? I'm just going on what Paula said on commentary. Something like that. I'm pretty sure it was north of 100 hard 90-degree turns. Obviously, we know it's just constantly up and down as well. Good elevation. And Mohamed, solid effort for him. I think it was good quality in on that podium. You know, it would have been a massive run for him to get on the podium. It's probably a sort of fair result. Seventh. It was solid and good championship experience for him. You know, he wasn't frightened of it. He was getting after it, and he's clearly turned up, and he's clearly been fit and healthy, which is the most important. Abby Donnelly. Big bronze for her, and actually 227 on that course. pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. And I think you mentioned all the turns, mate. I think Don Lee's cross-country pedigree just helping her out a bit in that in that aspect there. But yeah, it's an impressive run from her. And I just, it's strange to me how like more people don't seem to want to commit to these championships in the marathon. Because you think like, I think it's so smart from people like Don Lee, from people like Mohammed to do these and gain more championship experience in the marathon, because that's the one where, as a British athlete, like we saw what Emil did in Tokyo, that you can really go and target next cycle and think, okay, can we like get ourselves high up? Because in a major marathon where it's an all-out fitness test, realistically, like how close are you going to get to the top? But I do think if they can build experience, whether it's the courses, whether it's just a different kind of race, whether it's the preparation, whatever it is, Brits have a chance in championship marathons, particularly the Worlds next year.
Given the climates. Yeah, well, there's only going to be two more marathons left, isn't it? Or 2029, it's going to be the last World Championship marathon, and they're going to discontinue it at the major championships and obviously move it to the World Road Running Championships, or just have their own World Championship marathon. And so, there's not that many opportunities. And I think the big thing is because the climate, you know, actually the weather was half decent yesterday, but imagine if they had that marathon, was it the weekend prior, St. Mary's BMC? It was scorching. Scorching. Imagine they had it on that day. And again, you go to China, you go to LA, what's the weather going to be like there? So, but you are right. There is always opportunities in the marathon on these courses, because they throw up these unique demands that people aren't necessarily training for. And Natasha Wilson, prime example of that. Huge fifth for her. I know Ellis Cross wasn't there, but spending a lot of time as well training on that course, trying to prepare himself. And I was surprised more Brits didn't sort of, I know they did. They all sort of went in and assessed and checked out the course, but you know, Mohammed obviously spending a lot of time in Kenya training, Kenya, Ethiopia, you know, working out. He was training alongside Petros, but yeah, we, as a Brit, you did have a massive advantage to sort of work that course and train on it a good bit. I was surprised not to see sort of more, but I want to touch on Vino because she takes a win in 2:22, which is phenomenal running on that course. That is her sixth marathon in 11 months. And she's not hanging about in her marathons. You know, she did the World Champs marathon. Okay, that was a bit tactical, obviously extreme climate. But then she's run a couple of 220s in Valencia and Sevilla, multiple 222s, obviously 2:22 yesterday. That is a very, very impressive 12 months for her.
Wow, I seem to recall, mate, we had a chat about growing a sport and you said that that's what marathoners needed to do. Pretty sure you said they needed to all do six a year and race.
Well, what I said, what I said is the world majors. I said it's a shame when you have London and Boston six days apart and you have to split the field in half. And again, it's the same as sort of Chicago and Berlin are a couple weeks apart. New York's a month after. That is a shame that you lose, you know, sometimes London do a great job at, you know, pulling together the best elite field in the world and you get these amazing head to heads, but it would be quite cool to see more sort of big head to heads. And again, I just want to see more of what we saw this week with at the European Championships, just out and out racing.
Yeah.
So much more exciting, so much more at stake. Look at the upsets that we've had at the Europeans. Look at the storylines that have come out of it. Athletes have had to think outside the box. You know, we've seen Almgren. We saw that men's 1500. Huge surprises there. We see favourites deliver. We see runaway favourites. It's just so much better to consume the sport in that way. But maybe that's a good thing. We're sort of deprived of championships and they only come around once every 12 months.
Yeah, I think so. I think if they were every week, maybe we'd... Wouldn't enjoy them so much, but it would be nice to see a little bit more racing on the circuit.
A little, I think certainly the circuit needs to become a little bit more meaningful. You know, these next few Diamond Leagues, they won't get me going like the Europeans got me going. Do you want to talk about them? I think that's it for the Europeans.
Yeah, I think that's it for the Euros, mate. I think, yeah, like you say, on the Diamond Leagues, I just, the way we're going, if we're really going to start taking world ranking points into consideration, maybe there's a world where the Diamond Leagues aren't paced. Like maybe there's a world where actually we don't need to do that if we can just prioritize positioning in some of those events. But I still think the points are still are quite weighted on time, aren't they? Anyway, but
they're actually, yeah, I think they're trying to weight it sort of even more on that performance score now as well, to make it fair for those who can't get in. And then I'm like, well, if you're going to weight it so heavily on bloody times, why have you even got the the ranking points in the first place?
Yeah.
Anyway, Lausanne Diamond League Friday night. I mean, 2-2 BMC, we gave a quick preview on that last episode. Go back and listen to that. It's on Wednesday. It's going to be absolutely mega. We've got the best of Britain down there. We've got a few internationals as well getting after it. Look, just be aware, the men's 1500 is going to be paced at 3:33. Women's 1500, low four minutes, sitting at 4:03. That's going to be paced at. Men's 3K's got Kuti in. And that's going to be 7:40-odd. And the 800s are 1:44 races. So I haven't got the full start list in front of me, but hey, look, they're going to be published on the BMC very shortly, I imagine. Lausanne Diamond League, women's 800 has everyone bar Keely Hodgkinson and Georgia Hunter-Bell. We've got Femke Bol in there. We've got Lillian Adair in there. And we have Audrey Wera in there as well. So interested to see how Bol and Wera bounce off of the Europeans and whether Bol's just like, okay, the racing's done now. Boom, let's go for the... It's just me against the clock.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, isn't it? Like, I actually don't know how the athletes do it, particularly Vera. I don't know how she, after the drama of reinstatement and then obviously getting the win, I don't know how they come back and race the weekend after. But fair play to them. But I think it's wise that Keely and Georgia, particularly if they're thinking about World Ultimates, right? And
they will be.
Yeah, like, I think it's wise not to get straight into that next Diamond League and almost get sucked into just racing again, to be honest.
Yeah, Diamond League. They must be doing a Diamond League final. I don't think Celeste's got an ace. It must just be Diamond League final and then World Ultimates, which, you know, sort of a week apart. Yeah, I could see Keely getting revenge at the World Ultimates. I really could. But the field will be absolutely stacked. It won't just be three of them. Oh, boy. So, yeah, that'd be 4 or 5 who can feature in that. This Diamond League will go, you know, for people like Broder's Bowl and where I think the Diamond League goes two ways. It either goes, oh, championship is done. I've dealt with the emotional and physical stress of that. Now it's just about having fun and just letting loose a little bit. And you know, win or lose, it doesn't really matter now. Of course, the World Ultimate, they'll all want to win. But they might just start to just run quite free, experiment new things, really. You know, we know where I had a lot of success going off hard. They'll enjoy the fact there's a pacemaker. And it just narrows the tactics down a little bit. They don't have to think as much about what people are going to do because everyone knows the first 500 is going to be rather honest and it's just who can last that last 300 the best. So yeah, they might really impress. They might kick on. My guess is they are going to be a bit tired. They definitely both look tired. The Europeans took a lot out of them, I think. Men's 5K looks good. Graham Blanks, Grant Fisher, Eduardo Herrera. You've got a whole host of Kenyans in there. Kerget, although they weren't amazing at the Commie Games, were they? I know the conditions weren't great, but yeah. Kipsang is doing it, though. He was special at the Commonwealth Games. Labalu's bouncing back. You've got Parker Wolf and Nico Young. Love to see Parker Wolf in that one. And men's 800?
Yeah, men's 800. Mark English comes back again. I think the nice thing for someone like Mark English, and this is where I guess compare it slightly differently to the women, is that Vera and Femke Bol come in as hot favourites for the Diamond League, whereas Mark English, despite winning that European title, probably comes in here and he's still on the fringes, right? So actually can just go about his business and think about maybe nailing a fast time after coming off the back of that, because he's got the likes of Wanyonyi in there, Sajati's in there, Brandon Miller's in there, Marco Arop's in there. So this one's going to go quick, I'm sure. And some of the boys that are coming off Europeans, like a Tui as well, and 2 hour will be thinking, yeah, can we post a quick time after the championship?
4 men, 1:41. It's mental when you see their PBs, isn't it? You don't often see them all on paper like that, but yeah. Yeah, it is going to be very quick. Wanyonyi, and for me, it's Brandon Miller and Wanyonyi. A-Rob obviously has actually run 1:41.8 this year. Just haven't seen him in a while, so I'm like, how's he moving? But yeah, this is going to be, I think these guys are going to, they've got a lovely window. They've got 3 weeks where they can just smash. They can rip. They'll race this weekend. They'll race next weekend for the Diamond League final. And then they'll race the World Ultimates. And if they get it right, each race is getting quicker, quicker, quicker. The World Ultimates will be we know how quick that Budapest track is with a full stadium, perfect weather. We could see something special right at the back end of this season because a lot of these guys have raced sparingly, and if they're all fit, it's going to be very interesting. So that's your men's eight. That's women's steeple is the other distance event, the final distance event. And yeah, you've got basically the top five from the Europeans in the Germans and the Storna. And yeah, actually haven't got Fino in there, to be fair. And then you've got some strong Americans and the big players, you know, Faith Cherytich is in there. Yavi is in there. Nora Cheruto is also in there as well. And I was relatively surprised to see Thorna in this one.
Yeah.
Because I think after commies and Euros, I thought, take a break, you know, do the Diamond League final and World Ultimates. But I wonder if she has to do this to, I'll be honest, I'm not in tune with the Diamond League rankings. I don't really understand them. And so maybe she needs this, some points in order to go to the World Ultimates or the final. I don't know, but she could be looking at another three steeples, which is a lot considering she just did three in 2 weeks.
It's bonkers, isn't it? And I think, I guess the thing is, depending on what level you're at, like with someone like Thorna, can she say no to Diamond League races?
I mean, yeah, this season you've got to take your opportunities. And, yeah. It's a good payday. You know, it's good for the brand, you know, ranking points, all of that stuff. You know, she could finish this year. Well, she will finish this year and go, yeah, I'm going to Worlds next year. So she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to worry about that. But that's a nice feeling for her. But yeah, I think there is an element of almost don't want to miss out. Am I ready to turn these races down? And she will still believe there is a sub nine in there, or there is at the bare minimum there is definitely a British record in there. She would certainly believe that. But I think she has to be fresh.
Yeah, so let's hope she can find some freshness either for this one or, like you say, in a couple of weeks' time. So, yeah, that's pretty much the Diamond League, though. We'll be back next Monday, won't we, to review all the action. So we'll be reviewing Lausanne. We'll be reviewing...
next Monday or Tuesday, we'll review Tooting, Lausanne, Silesia. That's Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So, yeah, if you're missing out on the Europeans, we've still got a good week of running ahead of us. And then the team for the World Road Running Championships is going to be announced next Tuesday, 25th of August. Deadline closed this weekend. They're now going to decide that team and announce. So I'm very intrigued who's going to get those half marathon spots, those final ones, who's going to be running in the 5K and who's going to be running in the mile. Talking of that, Westy did try and go for that 13:30 on the roads yesterday up a podium, ends up in 13:49. It was a tough course. Jimmy Whelan was second, 13:50. Abdi Daru, credit to him, 13:59. And on the women's side, it was very tactical. Actually, they sort of looked like at one point they were going to go try and go for it. But then I think Almina Roerke is having an incredible season and has already run 15:11 and wasn't going to bet that yesterday. So just went for the win. And Neil Gawley gets beat in the mile by Tom Dodd. That was a surprise. And Holly Dixon won the female mile. So yeah, that's where things stand from podium, the sort of wrap up from there. But yeah, I think that's it. We look forward to another week of hardcore track and field.
Yeah, we do. Thanks for listening to us. We'll catch you guys very, very soon.